An ordinance in San Francisco requires residents to use trigger locks or locked containers for guns kept in their homes. So what's it to us here in the Midwest? Well, Wisconsin's new Attorney General, Brad Schimmel, last week joined 25 other states in support of a federal court challenge to that San Francisco gun ordinance. We've got Adam Winkler with us now to figure out why this local ordinance has such a big national profile and what it can mean for the future of guns and gun control. He's a professor of constitutional law at the UCLA School of Law, and he's the author of the book Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. Adam, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So on what basis is this San Francisco ordinance being challenged in court?
Well, the San Francisco ordinance requires gun owners to keep their firearms locked, even in their own home, unless they're carrying those firearms on their persons. And a lower court held that the law was unconstitutional. That went on to a federal court of appeals, which reversed that decision and said that San Francisco was within its rights to limit gun owners in this way. Individual plaintiffs are suing, saying that the law really deprives them of their easy access to a firearm at a moment's notice in a life-threatening situation because they don't always want to be carrying their gun on their person.
So the idea being that the Second Amendment guarantees a right to keep and bear arms in part for self-defense.
Well, the Supreme Court in a 2008 landmark decision known as District of Columbia against Heller held that the Second Amendment does protect an individual's right to have a firearm for personal protection, and that any law that denied a person the ability to have access to a handgun in the home for self-defense was an unconstitutional burden. In this case, San Francisco is claiming it's not such a big burden because we have this exception. If you're carrying your gun on your person, then you can use it for self-defense, and it doesn't have to be locked or kept disassembled.
So you mentioned local plaintiffs. They're the people who originally took this to court?
That's right. This was by plaintiffs and some gun rights organizations, a sheriff's group. They've argued that there are times in their home when they don't want to be carrying their firearms, such as when they're bathing or when they're sleeping, but they're still concerned about self-defense. They want to be able to have a firearm nearby that's not locked that they can use. They argue that the problem with the trigger lock is that in a moment of life-threatening emergency, the stress is very high, and your small motor functions become very difficult to use effectively. And so you might not be able to get that trigger lock unlocked and thus might be injured.
So are you surprised now that a bunch of state attorneys general, including ours here in Wisconsin, have joined in the legal challenge to this ordinance?
Well, it is somewhat unusual for other states to join in a lawsuit dealing with an ordinance that they don't have any semblance of in their own states. But nonetheless, it's become much more common, especially at the Supreme Court level, to get groups of states on board to file amicus briefs arguing one way or another. In this case, the states allege that they have an interest in seeing to it that the law of the Ninth Circuit doesn't become influential in other circuits and affect how the Second Amendment is treated elsewhere. So it's unusual, but not it's becoming more and more common.
Now, where exactly is this? You mentioned the Ninth Circuit ruled in San Francisco's favor. Is this a case where they're trying to get the plaintiffs are trying to get the U.S. Supreme Court to take this up?
Indeed, the plaintiffs have sought review in the United States Supreme Court, and the recent amicus brief signed by 26 states, including Wisconsin, basically a brief to encourage the Supreme Court to take the case, saying that this is a case of significance, of great importance, and the court should take this case. It comes on the backdrop, though, not just of gun lock regulations, which are pretty rare, but really about a larger controversy over the scope and meaning of the Second Amendment. The Supreme Court's decision in 2008 left the lower courts with a lot of open questions, and a lot of courts in the subsequent have really upheld most forms of gun control laws. So I think that there's a big effort to get the Supreme Court to take another gun case so that they can clarify exactly what the Second Amendment means.
Right. It seems as though the core issue here is how much right does a local government, maybe even a state government, have to set regulations on firearms?
That's right. That's the big question. We know that you do have a right to bear arms, but Look, the history and tradition of guns in America is also a history and tradition of gun control. We've always had gun control in this country going back to the founding fathers. And the Supreme Court recognized as much in the 2008 Heller case. The question is when does gun control go too far? And the plaintiffs in the San Francisco case say this is a perfect example. They have some precedent on their side. That 2008 Supreme Court case, one of the laws that was struck down was a storage requirement that required people to keep their guns locked up or disassembled. Slightly different law than the San Francisco law, because it doesn't have the exception for carrying your gun that San Francisco has. But nonetheless, there's a lot of people who feel that this court will have a lot of interest in taking this storage requirement.
Now, you mentioned that Washington, D.C. ordinance that was struck down went up to the Supreme Court, that the brief from the attorneys general mentions that as a comparison to saying, hey, that was struck down, so should this. Are they fundamentally similar?
Well, what's similar about them is that in Washington, D.C., the law required you to keep any firearm that you had in the home. You weren't allowed to have a handgun, only a long gun, but you had to keep it locked or disassembled. And you could only unlock it or disassemble it for certain recreational purposes, but not for purposes of self-defense. San Francisco has learned the lesson and says, look, we want you to keep your gun, in this case handguns, locked up and or disassembled, and you can keep them on your person available for self-defense as long as you are carrying it. You are in control of it at that very moment. Then you can have it for self-defense. So that is a big distinction between the D.C. law and the San Francisco law. Whether it's enough of a distinction to survive in the Supreme Court remains to be seen.
Maybe a dumb question here. Is it relevant that Washington, D.C. is in effect federal territory and San Francisco is part of a state? Does that matter for the precedent there?
Well, it doesn't technically matter for this precedent. It did matter at one point. It matters for some purposes of constitutional litigation, but it really won't matter in terms of the court's view. Well, the court has interpreted the Second Amendment to apply equally to the federal and state and local governments. As a result, any law that's unconstitutional in Washington, D.C. should be unconstitutional in San Francisco.
We're talking to Adam Winkler. He's a UCLA law professor and author of the book Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. We're looking at this federal legal challenge to a San Francisco ordinance that requires trigger locks or locked containers for guns stored in homes. Wisconsin's attorney general joined in saying the ordinance should be overturned. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Should local governments be able to set their own regulations on firearms? If so, how much latitude should they have? Do you see an ordinance like this one as a threat to Second Amendment rights elsewhere around the country, maybe here? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. My co-host, Veronica Rickert, will be back with me tomorrow. We continue our conversation on local gun regulation in the United States. There is a legal challenge in federal court to a San Francisco ordinance that requires residents to keep their guns locked up when they're at home or use a trigger lock. Wisconsin's new Attorney General, Brad Schimmel, joined his colleagues in 25 other states in support of that legal challenge. They're hoping that the U.S. Supreme Court will take this up. UCLA law professor Adam Winkler is the author of the book Gunfight, and he stays with us, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Should local governments be able to regulate firearms? If so, how far can they go? Do you think requiring gun safes or trigger locks in the home is a good idea? Is gun control, on the whole, in retreat in the United States? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Adam Winkler, before the news, we were talking about why other states might be interested in this, worried about this. Is there some way in which this local ordinance in San Francisco could become precedent and somehow apply to states or local governments, even if they don't want it?
Well, what the states are saying is that they have an interest in protecting the fundamental constitutional rights of all citizens, and that if the decision of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is not reversed, it will set a precedent which could influence policy decisions and court holdings beyond the city of San Francisco and beyond the Ninth Circuit. And so at the Supreme Court level, they really want the court to come in and provide more clarity and strike down San Francisco's ordinance to make clear that the right to bear arms is so strong that state and local governments can't impose these kinds of restrictions, such as trigger lock requirements.
Let's go to a caller at 800-642-1234. We have Mike on the line in Waseca. Mike, hi.
How are you doing?
Good. What do you think about this?
Well, I think it's all kind of crazy. If somebody breaks into your house, and you know, I'm all about safety. You know, if you got kids in your house, yeah, you should have some kind of and have a gun up somewhere where kids can't get at it, all that kind of stuff. But if somebody breaks into your house, and you got to fumble around for 5 minutes to try to find a key for a trigger lock, or a combination, or whatever, you're going to be dead by the time you get your gun. It kind of defeats the whole purpose of self-preservation in your home, doesn't it?
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. And Adam, that's kind of the argument from the NRA and the plaintiffs and the attorneys general who are supporting them, that the gun lock, the trigger lock, defeats the self-defense use of a firearm.
That's right. And, you know, there is some evidence to back that up in the sense that we do know that in high-stress situations, it's very difficult to dial a phone number, even if you know that phone number very well. And presumably when you're unlocking a trigger lock, it's going to be the kind of thing you've never done before in a high-stress emergency situation, and you might be nervous and do that as well. Of course, it does raise an additional question, which is if we don't trust someone and their small motor skills in an emergency situation, why are we allowing them to have a gun to shoot and kill other people? But I guess the Second Amendment in some way answers that question for us. We have a right to bear arms, and we have to take that right seriously. And if this law does restrict people's ability to defend themselves, then it goes too far and will be held to violate the Second Amendment if the Supreme Court takes that case.
Mike, thanks for the call. We'll go to Anthony in Sparta. Anthony, hi.
Hello.
Hi. What do you think of this?
Well, I just had a comment or a question. How would that ordinance in San Francisco be enforced, or is it enforceable?
Anthony, thanks for the call. Adam, I think I had read that there were some gray areas in how exactly this kind of ordinance is enforced.
Well, exactly. I mean, if we think about the crime being having a gun in your home that's loaded and unlocked while you're not carrying it, when would the police ever find out that you've done this? Imagine 99.9% of the incidents of this occurring would not be discovered by the government and would not be the subject for prosecution. I guess where it could come up, though, it could come up if there is an accident, if you do leave your gun unlocked and someone gets a hold of it and uses that gun, then it could be a basis for showing that the homeowner maybe was negligent, maybe even be the occasion for an arrest of the gun owner if someone else uses that gun for criminal or accidental purposes.
Or I suppose it could be a secondary enforcement sort of thing where if you were, you know, your house was searched for a drug-related charge, say, and they found an unsecured gun along the way, that could be an additional charge.
It could be an additional charge. It's the kind of thing that will only come to the government's attention if it's caused some kind of problem or there's some other problem, like you say, some kind of unrelated drug offense that leads police into the home. So the vast majority of cases, it wouldn't be enforced against anyone.
Anthony, thanks for that question at 800-642-1234. Adam, big picture, I mean, is gun control pretty much on the retreat in the United States between legislatures reluctant to pass new gun control laws and courts ruling on the side of gun rights for the most part?
I think it's actually a much more complicated story. I think if you look at the federal government and the Obama's post-Newtown proposals, it's easy to come to the conclusion that gun control is completely stalled in America. However, if you look at the state level, it's quite a different story. You've had significant new gun control laws adopted in states like New York, California, Maryland, Connecticut, Colorado. So you've seen some significant movement in favor of stricter gun control laws across the country. I think it's more fair to say that the gun debate has just heated up, and because it's a hot debate, neither side is really going to win it outright. And the story in the courts is much the same. Here's another case where the court has upheld a gun control law, this trigger lock requirement, despite some powerful arguments on the other side. As a result, it's hard to conclude that the right to bear arms is winning all the time and gun control is always losing.
And when states like New York pass those laws, how do they make sure they're more or less bulletproof, if you'll forgive me, for legal challenges?
Well, they bring in lawyers, and they have consultations, and they have their own lawyers on staff that look at these things, and they try to figure it out. One of the difficulties here, though, is that the Supreme Court really has not provided enough clarity for the lower courts. And so the lower courts have had to sort of grope along kind of blindly trying to figure out exactly what the Second Amendment allows and what the Second Amendment does not allow. And it's really one of the reasons why we really need the Supreme Court to step in and provide clarity. Ever since Newtown, however, the Supreme Court has seemed kind of reluctant to step in. They've had good gun cases presented to them every year in the last couple years. They've refused to take them. It'd be interesting to see if they take this San Francisco gun law ordinance.
That's interesting. You hear sometimes about the Supreme Court, even when they do take on cases, sometimes trying to interpret them very narrowly to the facts at hand and not create a wider precedent. Has that been a trend even when they do pick up gun cases?
Well, that's what happened in the Heller case. The Heller case in 2008 said that there was a right to bear arms, but didn't say exactly how lower courts are to sort out which gun control laws are constitutional and which gun control laws are unconstitutional. And so the court took a narrow approach in that case, sticking to the facts. However, what it did was encourage hundreds of lawsuits across the country challenging any number of gun control laws, and the lower courts didn't really have answers from this narrow ruling about how to decide these cases. So sometimes the court really wants to rule narrowly. Other times the court really has to step in and provide clarity, otherwise, because it's invited a lot of litigation, and the lower courts don't know what to do.
Back to our callers now. We have Brett on the line in Wauwatosa. Brett, hi.
Hi. I was curious as to how are they defining that the gun is disassembled? For example, in the case of a semi-automatic gun, would just simply having the magazine out be enough to be considered disassembled because the magazine is a part of the gun?
Brett, thanks for the call. Is that a gray area in this San Francisco ordinance, Adam?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if it's a gray area in the ordinance or a gray area in my own memory of the ordinance when I looked at it. I believe that the guns must be locked if they're a handgun, and so I believe it must have a trigger lock. But, I could be wrong about that. So the caller makes a good question, one that I should maybe double-check.
Now, looking around the country, Adam, and I'm sure you are, this is an issue you track, are there other legal challenges that we should be keeping our eye on that may be important precedents for the future?
There are a number of major cases. The biggest open question in the gun control movement, really, is whether states and local governments can limit people's ability to carry guns in public. You know, San Francisco's trigger lock ordinance is pretty unique. Not a lot of cities or states are going to adopt laws quite as broad as that. But a lot of states have laws on the regulation of carrying firearms in public. The Supreme Court's really provided no guidance on that whatsoever. And the lower courts have gone different ways, including a California court here, the same federal court that ruled in this gun law case, went the other way and said citizens must have the right to carry guns in public. So that's the biggest issue on the Supreme Court's Second Amendment docket.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk to you about that sometime, Adam. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Adam Winkler, professor of constitutional law at the UCLA School of Law. He's the author of Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America.